Blog Talk Radio.
Take my life.
Michael Stamp, we know he can sing, man. Amen, amen. Holiness, holiness. That's what you want for me, Lord. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, I just want to thank you again. You know what time it is. It's Monday night, and we are here this evening to open up the call lines and allow you, the listener, to call in and ask your question, make your comment, and even if you have a prayer request, we're here to pray with you. We're going to educate, inspire, and uplift. That's what we do on God's Word to Man Radio. That's right. Tonight is Monday night. I'm Brother Manny, and we are going to have a great time tonight with the topic that we have. What is that topic? Is holiness a forgotten concept? Is holiness a forgotten concept? You know, as we discuss topic tonight. You know, you look at the modern church experience, and sometimes from what it looks like on the outside looking in, to people who are unbelievers, or maybe even people that don't go to church on a regular basis, they see the shouting, they see the singing, they see the dancing, they hear the speaking in tongues, they hear people prophesying, they hear people praying, they see hands being laid on people. And some people say, you know what, it don't take all that. And I wonder if that statement is an indication or a byproduct of holiness being a forgotten concept. And now that's not to say that holiness can be identified as shouting or singing or praying or speaking in tongues or prophesying or any of that. I don't want to be misconstrued, because tonight what we're going to do, we're going to pose questions. And I say I'll pose questions to the brothers that call in, the ordained ministers, the elders, the men of God, who can shed more light on this concept of holiness. You hear people say very cliche things like, oh, that person is a holy roller. They are acting holier than thou. And it's a very negative connotation associated with being holy or holiness or a behavior of holiness. So my question tonight is, has the lines blurred just a little between what is holy and what is unholy? What is holiness? Can it be measured? What does living holy look like? We'll discuss all of this and more on tonight's broadcast, and we welcome you to call in. The number to do that is 323-870-3403. Again, the number is 323-870-3403. We also have a Facebook page that I want to remind you of, God's Word to Man on Facebook. If you listen to this broadcast now live, or if you are listening at a later date, go on over, if you're on Facebook, like and follow that page, God's Word to Man, to Bible, with a bright light shining down on it. That's the picture that's posted there. And I want you to follow us there and like our page, because that's where we notify you when we have live broadcasts, when we have Facebook Live videos, and any other posts that we might post, okay? Without further ado, I'm going to bring two of my brothers on. God bless you, Rev.
God bless you, Brother Manny. Always a pleasure to be on with you. Thank you for this platform. As always, may God continue to bless you and your family abundantly for this opportunity. We just really appreciate it, so thank you for having me on.
No problem. Thank you for joining us, Rev. I really appreciate it. And I'm going to bring your twin brother on, or as you say, your twin. God bless you, Brother Tom. How you doing, man?
Hey, God bless you, man of God. Yeah, you know, when Rev is on, we're going to have a show. we're going to get well informed.
Amen.
That's what I say about
Amen.
You, Brother Tom.
Well, listen, brothers, I don't know if you heard my complete opening there, but there is a little misconception. There's some truth, and then there's some things that are a little bit error as it pertains to holiness. And, Rev, this is something that we talked about and you wanted to discuss on tonight's broadcast. And so I just kind of pulled out some questions out of that, so that we can discuss this a little bit further in depth. So I want to give you an opening comment as to why you wanted to discuss this topic or this concept, and then can we really use this time? I mean, is there enough time for us to really get into the meat and potatoes of this thing? Because with churches looking the way they're looking today, it is my fear that Christians have traded trying to live holy, a holy life, or behave in a holy manner, for the church experience, you know, just kind of showing up, not all, but some, just kind of showing up for the church experience and then thinking that that is living a holy lifestyle or living a saved lifestyle. So go ahead, Rev, and give us an opening comment about that.
So the reason that I wanted to talk about this topic is because I thought it to be extremely important as we draw closer to the return of Christ. Our church services need to cease being a form of godliness or a time of entertainment, and it needs to be an informative and transformative experience that brings people to the place where they are able to look in the mirror, and the mirror, by the mirror I mean the Word of God, to do an introspective look at themselves. And not that we're necessarily judging each other, although there's nothing wrong with us holding each other accountable, but so that we can look at each other and so that we can look at ourselves in the mirror of the Word of God and live better lives. And to me, the Bible is clear that when we are in a solid relationship with God and we're exuding the characteristics of who God is, it is in those types of moments that God has no problem with necessarily going above and beyond and blessing us. And so when people say I want to live an abundant life for God, or even the people who say, I want to go to higher in God, I want to be higher in God, but we continue to live the same way, or we continue to live a raggedy life, those things do not go together. Well, part of the reason is not just the people themselves. Part of the reason is that we have had leaders and pastors who have watered down what holiness looks like, and we have went beyond the scope of what grace is, and we've taught grace for so much till we've made some people believe that it's okay to live a raggedy life and not necessarily understand that while grace does cover sin, it doesn't give us the license to practice it. And so I submit that there are people who are still living holy lives, and I submit that the body of Christ as a whole, we need to get back to a desire of wanting to live holy and not necessarily worry about what people think. And I think what has happened is that in the church, the devil has used the so-called holiness church as a denomination and brought about a division between that and other denominations as to suggest that not all churches need to be holy. Well, that's just simply not true. And I'm not saying that it's the fault of church, the holiness denomination, because the church can name themselves whatever they want, but you don't have to name yourself holiness to be a part of the holiness movement that exists in the body of Christ. And so what I'm saying is that it's time that the people of God as a whole, that the body of Christ, 1 Peter 1:16 says, be holy, for I am holy. So it's a command that's given to all the people of God, not just some of the people of God, not just to some denominations, but it's a command that God has given to all the people of God. And we need to stop allowing this satanic influence of deception by the devil to cause us to be ashamed of living a holy life. You mentioned earlier, and then I'll be done. You mentioned earlier that these terminologies that we hear, holier than thou or holy roller, and of course the term holy roller came from your typical Church of God in Christ churches, which is technically under the holiness denomination, where people would be slain in the spirit and literally be rolling in the floor. So that's where the term holy roller came from. And then, of course, when people thought somebody was being more, they were doing too much, as the kids say nowadays, you're doing too much as it relates to always responding or handling something in the Christian or godly character of holiness, then now you're being accused of being holier than thou. So I think for a good period of time, people in church have kind of backed off of what it means to express or even live a holy life in front of others for fear of being accused of these things. And so I just wanted to talk about this because, listen, we're living in a serious time, and if we want to make it to heaven, amen, and listen, it's only two choices. It's heaven or hell. It's holiness or hell. We got to get back to living how Christ desired for us to live, and it is possible. Thank you for the opening statement. Amen. Thank you for that, Rev. Brother Tom, I want you to address this in your opening statement, the idea that a lot of people are, you know, foregoing going to traditional church and watching church on TV, watching church on the internet, online. They're streaming live because they feel like the people in church are acting too holy, or that the behavior in church by some makes them feel like they're looking down on them, or that they're being singled out. And so they prefer even to stay home, whether they're going to watch church on live stream or TV or not. But the excuse is that there are too many uppity church folks up in there. And be honest, that it's really talking about people who behave in a certain way, Christian way, you know, that sometimes look down upon those who are not born-again believers. And so they associate that with the holier-than-thou mentality. Oh, they think they're all that because they're in church. So give me an opening statement of what you think about this topic and how you think that applies.
Oh, man. Well, y'all bring up so many heavy topics. I don't know. You know, the reality is that holiness is not a is not a look. It's not a style. It's not a denomination. It's a lifestyle. And I think when you look at the traditional, what we call the traditional holiness church in America, and things that they've done, Pentecostal churches all over the world, let's be real that people have not only been offended by not feeling welcome in these places, but they've also been offended by hypocrisy. You know, people who, who say they subscribe to the faith, and they see them doing the same thing to that they do and others do.
Amen.
And so that's a big problem. But the reality is that, yeah, you know, Brother Murph, it's merit to some of these statements that come from the world, but we don't like to hear them, you know, because we're the church and we got to defend ourselves. So we don't like to hear when people, you know, talk about the wrongs that have happened in communities and with churches that have not stepped up and been the examples to others, when church leaders and others like that have not been an example of good character. Holiness is character that pleases God, if I could define it. It's character that aligns with God's word. And he said, you know a tree by the fruit that it bears, right? And so it's character that aligns with God's word. And it is a lifestyle that aligns with his word. And so, you know, that's a deep question. And we have to remember that people are watching us as a church. And it starts with us. That's why he told us judgment is going to start first at the house of prayer. Because Christ wants us to exemplify that character in front of the world, because if there's no difference between us, then what are we drawing them to? we crucify Christ of flesh, as Paul put it, because we say with our mouths that Christ is the power in our lives, but the devil's our head because he controls our actions. And so we crucify him afresh in that way. So,
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, Brother Tom. I appreciate that. I just want to let you know, folks, if you're listening live right now with us, you can call in 323-870-3403. Again, the number is 323-870-3403. If you have a comment, a question, or even a prayer request. I'm going to go to the phone lines now. God bless you, caller. You're on God's Word to Man. Who am I speaking with?
Good evening. I tried to dial in, and I couldn't log on. I couldn't log on, so I called in to listen.
Amen. No problem. I'll go ahead and click on over on the mute here, and I'll come back to you if you have a question to see if you have a comment or you want to add some things, okay?
Okay.
All right. So let's examine, brothers. Let's examine what the true definition of holiness, what does it mean when we say, hey, listen, we should be holy. Like the scripture you just quoted says, you should be holy. What exactly does that mean, Will? Holy. What holiness? What is holiness?
So when we look up the definition, just going by strictly a worldly definition, it says it's the state of being holy or a life of holiness and devotion to God. So first we must understand, as Brother Tom was saying, it's a lifestyle that is found in us living in such a way that exudes the characteristics of God. And so that's what being holy is, right? And so one would say, well, how do we get to that state of living holy? Or if it's easier to understand, practicing holiness, right? We understand that salvation is something that happens instantaneous, but sanctification is something that's a process. So when Brother Tom says we practice it, yeah, that's something that we're trying to, that something that we should be, now here's the key word, deliberately trying to do or practice every single day. It's not something that we should be desiring to take a break from. It's not something that we can put down and pick up when people say, I'm going to lay down my religion. These are things that are not accurate definitions of holy living, right? You can't lay down your religion or I say stuff like I haven't been saved that long. That's not part of holiness. Holiness says that I will practice trying to live as best I can to the tenets and characteristics that are described in God's word. And so that's how we get there. I like what Brother Tom was saying earlier. Holiness is I could tell you what holiness isn't, right? Holiness isn't perfection. So what has happened is some people will say, well, nobody can live completely holy, but God never asked you to, in essence, that's not what God, by true definition, asks you to do. He asks you to try your best, to press every single day to try and live your best, not to default to the point of saying, well, I can't do it, so I'm not going to do it at all. And that's what some of us have done. We say, well, since I can't be perfect, then I just won't try at all. Well, that's not what God said. The truth of the matter is, every day we get up, we should be striving to live as close to how God would be, how God describes in His Word, we should live. I like Brother Tom said, it's not clothing. You know, unfortunately, the quote unquote holiness church said it was about wearing pants. It was about wearing makeup. And the truth of the matter is, if you study the scripture, that's, and especially over in Leviticus, that's not what it was depicting. It was not saying that a woman can't wear pants. It was actually talking about living a lesbian lifestyle. It was not saying that a woman couldn't wear makeup. It was saying that she should dress or get herself in a manner of becoming provocative, which also, by the way, that same law applies to man, right? Men shouldn't dress in a way that's provocative. And so when we start thinking about this sense of what holiness is, it's a lifestyle that we should be trying to deliberately practice based on the scripture, not trying to get points with the pastor,
not trying to look down on other people and say, hey, you're living a raggedy life, but I'm not. But that's what the devil has taken and caused division within the body of Christ by doing. You have some denominations, and I've been in church all my life, and I'm 53, so I've seen a lot with a lot of denominations. And I can tell you that holiness is not just solely something that's part of one denomination, neither is sin. So there's sin in every denomination, and there's holiness in some denominations that are not quote-unquote called traditional holiness churches. So that's why my desire to live holy is not based on anybody's approval. It's based on the command that God has given me, and I answer back to him first and foremost, and the desire for me to live holy should also be found in me wanting to not cause my brothers and my sisters to stumble. And so we need to get back to, this is always my default, right? The pastors need to get back to teaching these principles the right way. We need to start teaching people about these things. And when we put the horse in its place and not the cart in front of the horse, you live a holy life, you don't have to worry about prosperity. You live in a holy life, God will bless you with everything you need and desire if you're living a holy life. But unfortunately, we've got off track, and we begin to teach the other way. You can live how you want to live, and God is still going to bless you. But that's just simply not the truth. And so when it comes down to it, you know, holiness has to start with a desire to have the character of Christ. Then it has to be deliberately practicing our lifestyle, as Brother Tom was saying, and so that God is pleased as it is outlined in the Scripture. So, you know, that's my take on that particular part of it.
Amen. Thank you for that, Rev. Listen, I want to give you the definition. I often like to look up definitions of words, and I don't know if holiness is the Hebrew or Greek word that's in place there in the Bible, in the Scripture, where it talks about holiness. But I'm looking at this very common sense. Just look up the definition of holiness. That's what I do. I tend to just do the very simplest thing. And the definition here says a life of holiness and total devotion to God. Total devotion to God. What does it mean to be holy? Could it mean that it's sacred? Or how about one word or similar word used to describe being holy is sanctified or sacredness? But I like the word sanctified. You know why I like the word sanctified? Because Jesus in John 17 said, I sanctify myself. I sanctify myself. And so certainly we know that Jesus is holy. So why does he have to sanctify himself? That's just the word that I like to use. And when he says, I sanctify myself, I'm going to read it really quick. I read this chapter pretty much every night, and I encourage everyone who's looking to receive a word from the Lord to study John 17 and just keep reading that chapter. Keep reading it until you feel that the Lord is telling you you don't have to read it anymore. Because I've probably read this chapter, I would probably say more than 2 to 3 dozen times easily. I mean, maybe even 100 times. And every single time I see something different. And here in this chapter, Christ is praying for what I thought he was praying for the disciples. Until I came across the part that says, he says that I not only pray for them, but I pray for those who will believe on me through their word. Well, that includes me and you. So he's not only praying for his disciples, he's also praying for us. And here in verse 17 of John 17, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Well, we know what truth means. Here it says the word of God is truth. And Jesus said that he is the word. That's what the Bible says. But later on, in 19, verse 19, Jesus says something very strange. He says, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth, which is, we know, the word. So part of living a holy life, I found out today, means that you have to set yourself apart, that you have to live differently. You can't live like everybody else live. And that's part of what holiness, you know, Rev, when you talk about this, when we talked about this earlier, I started thinking, like, we don't look to be different. A lot of us sometimes look to just blend in.
Yeah.
You know, some of us just look to get along, just to get, you know, win in Rome type of mentality. Because we don't want the persecution. We don't want the hardship. We don't want the stares and the looks, and as they say, the side eye. You know, we want to be, you know, in the group. We want to be a part of the group, a part of everything else, you know, that's going on. And so the meaning to set yourself apart, to sanctify yourself, even Jesus in that moment, he says, I sanctify myself so that they may be sanctified through the word. Well, how do you live a life of holiness? Well, you got to do what? Study your word, among other things, right? And you have to sanctify yourself. So I just wanted to share that really quick before I go to Brother Tom. Brother Tom, what does it look like? What does it feel like to live a holy lifestyle? Because some people might not know. Some people might not know how to get there. Can you give us some examples of what it means to live or behave with a holy lifestyle?
Man, I'm glad you just read that chapter, man. Thank you for those great remarks. I mean, to make it plain, you just separated. We know that Jesus was a holy person. He walked a clean and a holy life, right? But then he said he had to sanctify himself, right? And so the two are synonymous, but because in order to be holy, you have to sanctify yourself. And that word, as Dr. Morris used to teach it, means separation. You got to separate yourself. You have to be put aside for the use of the Lord. Jesus, when he says, I sanctify myself, he simply was saying, I'm committing fully to the task that God put in front of me. I'm fully committing to what God asked me to do, to what he has commanded me to do, to what I was born in. The Lord, I come to in the volume of the book to do thy will, O God. I'm committing fully to God's way. He has, and then when he went further, as the other gospel writer wrote it, and he was praying in the garden, and that sweat began to drip down him like blood, and Jesus went ahead and said, Lord, you know, I take the cup, but then he says, Lord, nevertheless, let thy will be done. So even for Christ, he had to submit to the will of God for his life. And when we sanctify ourselves, that simply means separation. One of my favorite texts, and the first thing that popped in mind as Rev was talking in his opening statement, was Titus chapter 2, where the writer writes a very important verse, a couple of verses in that chapter, and he kind of defines sanctification for us in a way. When you go back to Leviticus 10, when God speaks to Moses and Aaron, and there was strange fire offered before the Lord from the priesthood, he told Aaron and his sons, he says, come on here. He said, I'm going to sanctify you. And he tells them this. He says, be ye holy because I am holy. And then what did he say in that chapter to them? He said, I want you to put a difference between clean and unclean, holy and unholy. There should be a clear separation between those that are believers and those that are not. And because I don't want to mess the verse up, can I read Titus chapter 2 real quick, those verses? Because the word is always
messed up. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Titus chapter 2 says this. He says, listen to this, because I want to be clear about this. He says, for the grace of God, this is the 11th and 12th verse of Titus 2, that brings salvation. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. That was in Jesus Christ, right? And why did he appear? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Denying ungodly and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So he tells us that there needs to be a separation between what the world looks like and what believers look like. It's not physically. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in character and in deed. You know, and that's what Christ is talking about. In character and in deed, we need to separate ourselves. And speaking of something that Rev spoke to in his opening statement as well, is that one of the biggest problems we have, Brother Murphy, is that preachers have begun to misappropriate grace. Man, did y'all hear me? Preachers have begun to misappropriate grace. And so because Christ died, almost an entire doctrine has come out of that. Because Christ died for the sins of the world, some doctrine has come up misappropriating what grace is. But the Bible tells us the complete opposite. Grace did not appear to give us a license to sin. Grace appeared to free us from sin. That's why grace came. And so, you know, we have to, and holiness is a practice. You have to learn how to live holy. It is not a overnight thing. And I'm going to tell you, I've been around the church for 20 years. It's not a 20-year thing. You know what I'm saying? Grace, the grace of God is there so that when we're on the walk of learning and practicing how to live holy day by day, and recommitting ourselves, that grace is there to help us if we slip or if we fall, but we ought to have a full intention in our heart not to displease the Lord. Plain and simple.
Amen.
Brother man,
we'll break that thing.
Let me jump in. Because Brother Tom is just out here playing around, and we just need to get down to the nuts and bolts of this thing. Listen. Listen, Brother Tom is on it. While he was talking, I was looking up the Greek word for holy, right? Because I knew I was going to have to come with something after Brother Tom did what he did, because he don't be playing. Listen, it says God is unlike anything else. So therefore, we must be unlike anybody else. See, if I could say this, and Brother Tom, I'm sure you'll appreciate this. Grace is the Band-Aid that's in the first aid kit. It's there if we get cut or if we get hurt. But our intention, how many people are out here intentionally trying to hurt themselves? Amen? And what we're supposed to be practicing doing is staying healthy or not hurting ourselves. Or not needing a rubber, not needing a Band-Aid, but grace is there, just like the Band-Aid is there in case something happens. But I love the scripture that Brother Tom used in Titus, but I like Romans 12 and 2 that says, "Don't be conformed to this world; be transformed by the written." That's holiness. Paul is talking about holiness right there. Be like the world. The Greek word for holy is unlike. Different. You cannot be like this world. Amen. Plain and simple. Because God is unlike this world. He cannot be compared to this world. You can't have I like the scripture that says having the power of the having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That goes right along with what Brother Tom just said about how we have really, in a sense, abused grace, the doctrine of grace, and that's why I was speaking with my wife earlier, and we were just talking about this young man who's 26 years old and has this mega church of 10,000, and the comment was, though, he's probably doing something right, and praise God if he is doing something right, but nowadays, a lot of people are flocking to these ministries where they can live lukewarm lives, where they can live lives that look like the world still because of what you even said a little while ago, Brother Manny. Nobody wants to be identified as the holy roller. Nobody wants to be identified as somebody who is holier than thou. We have let people shame us out of looking like God. And part of it, again, it is the church's fault because we have taken our foot off the accelerator when it comes to preaching about living holy because we have had people, now watch this, it is true, you have had pastors who've abused people by shaming them needlessly or in some instances they should have spoken to them privately, but they did it publicly. So, yes, that has happened. But I'm here to tell you, God is not going to let it be an excuse for people to say, well, those people at that church are judgmental. No, every church is not judgmental. Every church is not living a hypocritical life. And I agree, Brother Tom said earlier, a lot of these pastors have helped make it bad because they have on the public eye, at first it seemed like they were untouchable, and then here come this big scandal. Yeah, but guess what? That's not happening for every pastor. That's not happening at every church. So when it all comes down to it, I don't know if I can pronounce it right, but it's spelled H-A-G-I-O-I as it relates to us. So we're supposed to be different. And when it relates to God, and I'm talking about specific in Scripture, 1 Peter 1:16, when it says for us to be holy, it uses H-A-G-I-O-I, which is to be different. When it talks about God, it's H-A-G-I-O-S, which means to be unlike. He is unlike anything that ever has existed. And so, therefore, our job, as Brother Tom so eloquently put it, is to strive every single day, not to go in that first aid kit and get the Band-Aid. But if we have to get it, then we get it out. But if other than that, we ought to live every day striving to please God and looking like Him through conversation and demonstration.
Amen. Thank you for that, Rev. I appreciate the follow-up on that. Boy, you and Brother Tom get together and y'all start bouncing this thing off each other. I'm telling you, we just going to have an old-school tent revival with both of y'all. You know, speaking.
I just want to grow up and be like Brother Tom. I just want to grow up and be like Brother Tom. That's all.
All right. Amen. Listen, I'm working on something, and I don't say this much often, you know, but when I'm praying, I'm seeking the Lord, you know, God has given me something, something I haven't told you about yet, Rev, but I'm sure we're going to speak really soon. I want you to help me flush it out. God has been dealing with me about royal bloodlines.
Yeah.
Royal bloodlines and what that means. You see, in the beginning, the Bible says, and I know I'm going to say it very simplified. I'm not real deep, you know, like a lot of preachers, and certainly not as articulate as you and Brother Tom, but he says that he made us in his image, in his likeness. So even though we're supposed to be practicing holiness, in essence, it's in our DNA to be different because we were made different. And so when I talk about royal bloodlines, you should automatically feel a certain way. Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You have become new. But when we look back and we see, and I'm going to bring my brother on because he can really expound on this a lot more than I can, because
we used to talk about this all the time. In the beginning, God's initial, want for us is that we be like him and have dominion over the earth. And so it's already in us to be separate and to be different because that's the way we were made. When you become born again, as I said, you then revert back to God's original intention for our lives. And with saying that, I'm going to bring on my brother right now. God bless you, Brother Kevin. How are you?
I'm blessed, gentlemen. How are you guys tonight?
God bless you, Brother Kevin.
God bless you, Brother Kevin. Brother Kevin, we're talking about holiness as a forgotten concept. Holiness, we talked about being sanctified. We talked about what it looks like to be holy. We talked about what others outside of the church, how they feel about Christians and born-again believers, saying that they're holy rollers or holier than thou or acting like they're better than everybody. When, as Rev put it, it's really a situation as we're supposed to be like God and unlike anything else. But as I was trying to, and I probably didn't do it justice, talk about God's original purpose for our lives and how through Jesus coming to do what he did, it brought us back that royal bloodline so that we are able to act like the original intentions were for us to act. Can you really just kind of expound on that and talk about how we are different and how we are set apart and how holiness ties into all of that?
That's our life. You know, we have to look at, you know, if we were made in the image and the likeness of God, we have to look at his characteristics, his nature, to see. You know, the Bible says that in First John it said that we beheld his glory, you know, and that word glory there comes from that word where out of that word image, where to leave an impression. So as we walk out our lives under the laws of God's kingdom, it makes us just like him. So there's no way that we could deviate from that if it's the law. Now Jesus said this. He said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, but don't do the things that I say?" So when we're talking about lordship, when we're talking about holiness, he's differentiating between who belongs to him and who doesn't. When you talk about lordship, he said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things that I say?" That's what he said. Many was going to say to him at that day. Many was going to say to him at that day, "I cast out devils in your name." And this is not the point to say that, hey, we're better than anybody else because, you know, I sit in the house all day and read my Bible day. No. What we're saying is God has given us the blueprint. And he's given us and he has placed his government on the inside of us to instruct us how we should conduct ourselves. Because if we're the salt of the earth, and the salt has lost its flavor, then who's going to salt the earth? There has to be an example in the earth of this country, off of law, and we are a part of it. It's to be in this world, but not of this world. Now, it's not telling us, he's not telling us that we should live, that we should be perfect, that we should walk in perfect. Because Paul said that if righteousness were to come by the law, then Christ died in vain. So the law points us to Christ, and it shows us in our own righteousness. So therefore, you know, I know when I minister, I always include myself. I say, you know, God loves us, you know. He wants us to follow him, and the reason that he wants us to follow him is because he knows the power that he has given us through free will. He has given us his power through free will, that when we choose aside from him, what could possibly happen? So, you know, as I said, you know, brother, I know, you know, you and I, we've had countless conversations regarding this royal bloodline, but I'm telling you this, there is coming a wave of Jesus people, and you know what's going to be the difference, and you know what's going to make the difference, what's going to be the difference? The difference is going to be hope. The standard is going to be holy. And that's how who's of God and who's not of God. That's how you're going to, that's how we're going to distinguish who's his and who's not his. Because we have, you know, we have any facilities, beautiful facilities, you know, and I tell people, I said, you know, it's funny how, you know, God is trying to get our attention, and he shut down everything that we put our sacrifice in. You know, sometimes we only stand, you know, and I'm fully guilty. I'll say that first. We only stand in the anointing that, or stand in the glory that we want to accept. When we don't want to live right, when we don't want to do the right thing, we know what it takes when God is telling us to come all the way. But yet, we know that there's things that are in our lives that we're not ready to change, that we're still trying to negotiate with God. But God ain't in the mix. That's the deal. He said, listen, this is the deal. Or otherwise, there's not. So, you know, I would encourage, you know, everyone. God has given us the hope to lead us, to guide in today. And if you're living and practicing a particular thing, whether you're in the church or on the outside of the church, the way to get back is to repent of it. That means to forsake it and start to follow him.
Amen.
Brother Manny, can
Amen.
I ask
Thank
a question?
You.
Yes, go ahead. Kevin, you teach the word of God, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Brother Tom, you were on Sunday, you were on yesterday teaching about spiritual adultery, is that correct?
Yes, sir. I think Brother Manny may have shared an older video.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you were teaching biblical principles,
sir.
Is that correct? And so this
yes,
is
sir.
What I find. This is what I find. And it kind of speaks to what you kind of said a second ago, Brother Kevin. It's not that there's an absence of what we need to do to be holy. It's an absence of a desire to want to be holy. Because when it's all said and done, and you brothers can speak to this, and maybe I'm in error when I say this next piece, but I don't think I am. I think that when we're born, we are, yes, born with a sin nature. We are, because we're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. But I also believe that we are born with the ability to be originally what God called us to be. And so that when we are born naturally, that's there as well. Then we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now that's activated in us. I don't believe we're just born into this world simply with this sin nature and that's it. So that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, now we become born again. But how does that process take place? Again, I go back to Romans 12 and 2. We got to renew our mind. And how do we renew our mind? Through the teaching of God's word. What has the devil attacked? The church.
Yeah.
He has told people you don't have to go to church. You don't have to live holy. To Brother Tom's point earlier, we have taken grace and we have made grace the norm for hey, just live any kind of way you want to live. And so to me, To me, if we really want to be holy, all we have to do is we find us a church who's preaching and teaching the Word of God, and quit making all these excuses about who shot John and this pastor. Every pastor's not failing. Every pastor's not preaching about prosperity. There's some men on this phone right now, Brother Tom and Brother Keegan, on this phone right now, who are teaching sound biblical principles, and that's how you live holy. That's how you get the fuel to live right. That's how you get the fuel to practice the character of God every single day.
Can I
add
to real quick?
One second, brother. I want to go ahead and welcome Brother Monty on the line. God bless you, Brother Monty.
God bless you, Brother Emmanuel, and all the brothers that's
God bless you, Brother Monty.
Spoken so eloquently about why it's important and the need assessment for people being just real within themselves. This is an individual walk, and we have to make it just definitely clear. If you love God, the Bible says you will keep his command. And so a lot of times, oftentimes, I believe that we may love God on the surface, but beneath the surface is what God is working with. That's why he has to come on the inner man of us, that he can be the changing agent, and so that we can mature and grow, and that he may begin to saturate those things within us and develop the maturity as well as the conscience and the practice of going before him. Even in the natural, when you want to be the best at whatever it is that you want to do, you have to practice that thing. And God wants us to practice and practice and practice and practice. Unfortunately, in the church realm of things, what I have seen on many occasions is that people believe that they have arrived, that once they have accomplished a plateau in Christ, that they don't need it to go any further. And that's sadly a big mistake on their part, because we have to continue forever reaching to the hills from which cometh our help, and knowing that our help comes from the Lord. We have to forever continue to abide in him so he can abide in us. And that's just an ongoing process each and every day as we begin to deliver ourselves from certain things. The enemy, just because we got saved, the enemy's not going to stop. Just because we go to church and give devotion and pray doesn't mean the enemy is going to stop. So therefore, as a Christian individual in my walk, we have to continue to press our way. We have to continue to persevere. We have to continue to allow God to be God in our lives and set the tone. It's not about what one is doing or watching someone else. It's about what you should be doing directly in your relationship with God. And that's when God begins to develop the greater things within you, because of your obedience. That's why he says your obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. Because through your obedience, you'll find what the doors being opened for you. Through your obedience and listening, watch as well as pray, listening to the voice of God. When you pray, listen for God's instructions, and so that God can give you the information that you need to hear in clarity, that you can go forth and preach the gospel, and not only just preach the gospel, but teach the gospel and educate those that are listening. Yes, they're not only listening, but they're watching carefully what you do. The enemy wants us to fail. The enemy wants us to slip up so people can place blame. And so there's enough blame to go around for everybody. However, we need to be diligent in our walk with the Lord, and that's what we need to continue to do and persevere in the glory of God. God bless you all. I love you all, and keep pressing your way.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Monty. Go ahead, Brother Tom.
Well, I just wanted to add, we got to remember how man connects with God. That's what our two brothers was talking. You cannot connect with God through your flesh.
Amen.
You cannot obtain the character of God through your flesh.
Amen.
Your flesh is an enemy. The devil is an enemy. You can't fight the devil according to the word before we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You can't fight the devil in the flesh. So if you can't fight the devil in your flesh, and you can't even fight your own flesh with your flesh, there's only one thing you can connect with God with, and that's your spirit. The Bible said God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And when you talk about that, the reality is everybody's done this. Everybody's done it. We come home from Walmart with a big box. Maybe it's a cabinet or a shelf, and we got to put it together. And sometime men will take that cabinet and that shelf out of the box, and they'll go to trying to put that thing together without reading instructions. That's the problem with our churches. See, we have gotten away from the manual. We don't left the manual sitting on the side, and we've learned how to have good worship. And we've learned how to keep a tune in church, and we've learned how to entertain. But we don't put the manual that says, "Will a man cleanse his way?" Is that Psalm 119?
That's it.
Where he said, "Will a man cleanse?" See, that's where we forget it. Well, we gotta bring that manual back in front of us and say, you know what? That's the problem with man. You cannot put your life together. That's our problem.
Yeah.
You cannot fix your life. The Word of God gives us clear instruction on how to get ourselves. What does he tell us about sin? He says, flee, resist the devil, and he'll do what? He'll flee. Then he tells us to turn our back on sin. He tells us, he said, brothers, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your body as
a living sacrifice.
So we got to stop putting the manual to the side thinking we can put it together by ourselves. We can't do that.
Amen. That's good.
It ain't going to happen.
That's good. That's good. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Tom. Rev, I know you got to get out of here, so do you want to have a final comment there and maybe tell people where they can follow you and any upcoming broadcasts that you may have?
Now, I got an extra few minutes, man. I'm going to keep on listening to these brothers, man. That was good.
Oh, okay.
That was very good, Brother Tom. Brother Keevan, you on it, man. Y'all on it tonight, man. Brother Monty, y'all on it, man. I got a few more minutes, so go ahead, brother. Go ahead, Manny.
Okay.
Next piece.
So in following up with what Brother Tom said, and a lot of you have alluded to, about this walk, so is being holy more of a mental thing, or is it a thing of the heart? It's a spiritual thing. But is it more that people struggle mentally, or is it just in their heart, in their nature, that they just don't want to do it? They just don't. What is the reasoning behind people not wanting to live holy, as you say? Go ahead, Rev.
I think it kind of goes back to what was just said by both all the three other brothers on the phone. To me, it really does start in the heart, then it goes to the mind, and then the behavior is produced, right? So if I have a desire to do something, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, the level of my desire is going to dictate my level of devotion. So if I want to write a book, well, I can say I want to write a book all I want. I have it in my heart, the desire to really write this book, but until I get it in my mind why I should write it, how I'm going to do it, then it's not going to be produced. When we stay away from church and say things like it don't take all that, when we stay away from church and say I can just watch church on TV, when we do go to church, but we're not listening to sound doctrine, then that's not having a desire to live a holy life. That's a desire to feed your flesh. You can just about tell a person's life, where they are spiritually, doing how you see them behaving, what their conversation is like,
And then you'll be able to see, okay, either they're not in church at all, or there's some place where they're not being convicted. The word of God is clear. The Bible will transform you. God said, when people say, let the word be anointed. No, the word is already anointed, and it's going to do what it's designed to do, but a person has to allow that to transpire in their life. And so if I don't want to change, if I want to be a liar, guess what? I'm not going to go to a ministry that's teaching against lying, or I'm not going to go to some place where I can receive the word of God. So, yes, to me, the desire has to start in your heart to want to be right and understand, and then go into your cognitive thinking, into your mind, and say, here's why I need to be right. And even for the pastors and teachers, to the point that my brother just, to Brother Tom just said, or it might have been Brother Keegan, I don't know, but when he said that we're going to stand before God. Now, get this. God is going to say, not only depart from me, the word of God says he's going to say, I never knew you. In other words, we were never in relationship. You might have thought you was in relationship with me, but you was never in relationship with me, which means what? We were connected for our own self-gain, for our own self-purpose, and that's why we got to get in a place where my heart is so convicted that I understand why I need God, that I understand why it benefits me to live holy. So some of us have failed because we didn't understand the real reason why we should live holy. See, me living holy has nothing to do with me simply pleasing others around me or looking down on somebody else because they're not living holy. Living holy is what's going to get me, what's going to prove that there has been a change in my life and that I have accepted Jesus Christ not only as Savior, but he is ruler. So somebody said, well, you're teaching the doctrine of salvation based on works. No, I'm not. But like James said, faith without works is dead. Our works prove we saved. They don't save us, but they do prove we saved. So you can't say I'm saved, but you're practicing a life of sin. It don't go together.
Amen. Amen. I appreciate that, brother. Rev, you know, you've been hitting on all cylinders. You and Brother Tom. And then we just add Brother Keevan and Brother Monty. I'm telling you, we could do this all night if we had to. But we ain't going to do it all night. I'm letting the folks, you know, the broadcast is nearing its end. But I want to go just a little bit deeper and talk about this mind. How Joyce Meyer said, she said that the battle is for the mind. And if we are going to live holy, and we're going to study God's word, which is the manual that shows us how we should live holy. It also shows us how we have to implement these concepts. But when we talk about the mind, as they used to say, your mind can play tricks on you. How does the mind work into this, Brother Tom? This battlefield, what does it mean about this battle that's going on, this struggle to live holy? A lot of it is in the mind. Can you break that down a little bit for us?
Yeah. As our brother said, the scripture told us to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. And the reason is, if you remember, too, in the ministry of Jesus dealt with the mind. See, sometimes this is where God has blessed me in the last 7 years. To look, you know, 7 years ago, I had an encounter with God where when I was reading scripture, the Holy Spirit challenged me to look at the other side. And then revelation started to flow. So I never read a text the same. I always look for the other side. So when Jesus was in his ministry, when he mentions that if a man so much as looks upon a woman, you guys remember this text? Well, if a man so much as looks upon a woman, he's already slept with her in his mind, right? In layman's terms, right? Well, Jesus was really trying to teach us that things are conceived in the mind before they come out. Okay? It starts in your mind. Okay? When you make a decision to say yes to Christ, you have to. It starts in your mind. when you make a decision about anything you do, it starts in your mind. And so when Jesus was really saying that, he was really speaking to the power of the mind. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very, very important for us to understand the power of our minds, because, and then the scripture tells us this, he said, as a man thinketh, so is he. So there's a power to our mind that generates and forms thoughts, it forms plans. And what happens is, if our flesh is in control, then our flesh will constantly formulate thoughts and imaginations in our mind. That's why the scripture said, casting down what? Imagination.
Imagination.
Didn't it say that?
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I said casting down imagination is because that imagination in our mind takes us on a road before we even get there in life. That we get captured by certain things. Huh? The captivity of our mind. We get captured by thoughts in our mind that take us down paths of sin. And what happens is in the spirit, every time we get in the spirit and every time we read the word and every time we pray, we get power over the mind. And we put the spirit in control so it won't let the mind take the flesh. And that's why, and I'm going to tell you this heavy thing and I'm going to quit. That's why every time you pray, I don't care if you've been saved 30 years. That's why every time you pray, the first thing that happens when you get down to pray, your mind starts thinking about, man, I forgot to close that door. Man, did I leave my keys over there in the car? You know what? Tomorrow when I go to the grocery store, I need to get some more relish. These things start going in your mind because your mind and the flesh does not want to connect with God. The Bible said this, and this is the last one. Listen to what he said. The carnal mind is enmity against God. The mind is an enemy. Of God. So we got, that's why, and that's why it constantly tells us throughout. I can give you 1,000 scriptures on the mind, brother. Don't make me preach. But the reality is the mind is a battlefield. And if you're going to win for God, the first thing, there's some theologians. I'm going to make this is my final statement anyway, man. There's some theologians, right, who have long taught that when the snake came to Eve, he connected with her mind. Whew, my God. The devil connected with her thoughts. Listen to what the devil tells her. He plays with her mind. God has already given the commandment and said, don't do it. But the devil plays with her mind. He entices her with a thought. What was the thought? He enticed it. He put it in her mind that if she did it, she would be like God.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
He
attacks and he twists the mind. So we got to give our minds to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And that's why the mind is so important when we're talking about living a holy lifestyle, or holiness is the lifestyle we should be living. Brother Tom, I want to thank you for joining us. If that was your last comment, go ahead and tell the people why we still have them, where they can find you at, and, you know, any social media, anything you want them to know about, any books or anything like that.
I mean, you can find me on Tom Lyon, social media, and I'm working on my first official Christian book. This is the first announcement tonight. It's probably not going to come out in 2021, but I'm working on my first official book called Elephants in the Church. And
Amen.
So,
oh my goodness,
getting ready to bring that out next year. And we're going to be talking about some powerful things, about things that we don't
Amen.
Discuss in the church that hinder us in ministry,
Amen.
Things that we don't deal with in fighting. So you can find me in Minneapolis, Minnesota, 2314 Plymouth Avenue North, where I'm glad to be serving as the pastor there at Trinity Tabernacle, you know, working with a pastor, Meredith, there, he and his wife, great people. You can also find me on social media at Tom Lyon, and on Twitter you can find me at Tom Lyon Lyon.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that, Brother Tom, as always. It's been a pleasure and a blessing to have you on, okay? Amen. That's that Brother Tom. Boy, he get to going. Oh, my goodness.
Amen.
So, Brother Kevin, I want to come to you, and as we get ready to close out, I want to talk about the importance of your environment as it pertains to staying holy or living a holy holiness lifestyle or being holy. Your environment, your actual physical environment, how important is that as you try to live a holy lifestyle?
And, you know, the Bible tells us to come out from among them and be accepted. You know, that you don't take from the corrupt communication is going to destroy you. And we can say that, you know, I've been knowing this brother or this sister, or I've been with you for a long time. But, you know, the Bible tells us that a little less leaven is a whole lot. So you have to disassociate yourself from certain situations so that you can stay conscious and blameless before God. Because the enemy is looking for, like we've been talking about, your nature. Remember, that was your first thing before you decided. Now, when we decide to follow Christ, when we're talking about renewing our mind comes from the word repentance. Repentance means to have a change of belief system, a change of philosophy. I don't go that way anymore. It means a total turning your back on it. And sometimes you have to make the decision that in certain situations are going to pull you back and pull you away from your newfound life and pull you away from this. That's why he says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That means the way that you live, the way that you talk, people that you associate with. I'm not saying to some degree you can't be a light, because Jesus was in the midst of all kinds of people that was going to different things. But he only did what the Father commanded. So we have to be about. We are to be a light to those that are seeking light. Because not everybody that, you know, the enemy knows our weakness. He knows our weakness. And if we're not prayerful, if we're not in the place with God, it pulls you right back out of God. We can say all day, all the Holy Spirit was saying, he could desperately. God don't want you to be. There's a place that God don't want you to host you. And here's the thing. When they always talk about them old dirty Christians, they don't want to do nothing for nobody. They always calling themselves holy, but they wouldn't even dump my car. They wouldn't even do this. They wouldn't even be they wouldn't even be in this place. And they wouldn't even be in the same place as I would. Well, here's the thing. You got people that's in the Word, and they don't want nothing to do with you if you're talking about Christ, if you're talking about being holy, if you're talking about living right, if you're talking about following Christ and doing the right thing. So no one cares about what their opinion is about you. You have to separate yourself from people so that you can be a light to them, the same way as Christ did. He only followed the Father. He mingled with them all day. I'm not saying that separating yourself means living a lifestyle. As you earlier, living, I always say, living the culture of the kingdom. What is that? We oftentimes we think that it is found because in tongues. I'm not saying that speaking in tongues, because that's the heavenly, that's the language of the kingdom. But I'm talking about having joy. What did Paul say was a characteristic of the culture of God's kingdom in Rome? Joy, peace, righteousness. What does that word righteousness mean? need. It'd be in right alignment with God. It'd be in right standing. It actually comes out of a court of law. It's not a religious word. It actually comes out of a court of law. So to be in right standing, be in right standing with God, joy, righteousness, and the Holy Spirit within you, which is there to navigate you and tell you how your and tell you how your conduct should be as a kingdom in our lifestyle, and the things that we do in our walk, and our talk, and bearing the of God's Spirit. Because that's what the difference is. Not because you got a Jesus stuff bumper sticker on your car, not because you walk around with a halo on your head, that doesn't separate you. But what separates you are those social characteristics of God's on the inside. That's why I said, you don't want.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that, and we thank you for joining us on the broadcast tonight, and I just want to say you're welcome, obviously, anytime, and we look forward to the times where you start, you know, the reboot of your own broadcast, and I like to say God bless you and God keep you, and we love you, and we'll talk to you later. Okay, Brother Kevin?
All right. God bless you.
Brother Monty. You have a final
yes,
comment?
Yes, sir. Not really, Brother Murphy. I just thank God that you that God is continuing to use you for this segment to have other brothers and to come along and we can come on one accord and be in agreement about God's kingdom. And that's to me is what's most important, that you can, you know, how often you can have the brotherly love to come together in each of our different facets of life and in ministries and how we can just come for the topic of individuals being able to talking about holiness, and it starts in the mind. That's the battlefield, and it's so important and pertinent for people to hear that and to understand the significance of being before the Lord and guarding your mind and keeping it safe, that because the enemy will speak to you, you know. But the Bible says that God says, my sheep knows my voice. And so when we have a relationship with God, obviously an ongoing and an enriched relationship, you know your Father's voice. The shepherd knows the sheep. And so we have to be very tentative to know exactly when it is that God is speaking and when the enemy is trying to be an imitator and manipulate us in situations to do things that we otherwise should not be doing. So I just thank you for this platform. I thank God for the ability to just to grace you all's presence and be here on with you all and talk about the goodness of Jesus. And so I just thank you again. God bless you, my elder brother, Pastor Murphy. God bless you, and continue doing what God has called and purposed and predestined for you to do. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that, Brother Monty. We appreciate you joining us, and as always, you're welcome anytime. And we look forward to you having your own broadcast at some point here on God's Word to Man, okay?
Okay. God bless you now.
All right. Sister, I haven't forgotten about you. I just want to come to you and see before I end the broadcast if you had a comment or question or anything you'd like to say.
Well, God bless you, all you brothers. I just want to thank God for you. I thank the Lord for the unadulterated word of God. I just want to thank God for the word that came forth, because it's so true, and to be sanctified is to be separated. And the mind, the devil plays tricks on the mind. And I just wanted to say that, as the brother did state, you know, as the word stated, guard your mind, because a lot of time things get into your mind. And if you just think on these things, they will get into your heart. And so therefore, we have to keep the mind prayed up, and we have to stay prayed up and keep the mind clear of these things, that they do not get in the heart and fest in the heart. because I know, you know, where your heart is, that's what tells the story, where you are. And I just thank God for all the brethren and the word of God for tonight. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for that, sister. We appreciate you calling in. You're more than welcome anytime to call in and voice your opinion. God bless you.
God bless.
Well, folks, there you have it. Another one in the books. I'm happy. I get excited when I get all these brothers on here. And, you know, like I say, I don't pretend that I'm not ordained. I'm not an elder. I'm not some great speaker. But to have all these men of God and the woman of God to call in and voice their opinion, that's what we want for Monday night. We want you to call in and share and you know, have a comment, have a question, have a prayer request. You can't tell me with all that's going on you don't have a prayer request. Don't be shy. But tonight, that's the end of it. It's the end of this broadcast. And so if you do have a prayer request and you want to give it to us, you feel free, if you're on Facebook, to reach out to us in a direct message on God's Word to Man Facebook page. You can also email us at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWORD, the number 2, MAM, at gmail.com. Again, that email address is GODSWORD, the number 2, MAN, at gmail.com. If you have a prayer request, go ahead and send it over. If you have a comment or even a question about what you heard tonight or any other broadcast, feel free to reach out to us by those two mediums, okay? May God bless you. May God keep you. May God go with you. Everybody stay safe. Please wash your hands. Keep your immune system fortified with your vitamin C, your garlic, your cod liver oil, your apple cider vinegar, you know, your green power drinks, everything that's healthy to help your body replenish those nutrients and boost your immune system. Vitamin C is zinc, vitamin D, vitamin B vitamins, whatever you take, keep it a stockpile of it, because we live in very perilous times, and we want to make sure that we're here on this earth to do the work of the Lord. So for Brother Tom and Reverend Murphy, Joseph C. Murphy, for Brother Kevin Bruce, Brother Monty, and for the sister that called, God bless you. May God keep you. May God go with you.
Let your power fall when your name is called. Prove the doubters wrong. God, you're still mighty and strong. So fight this battle for me and help my unbelief, so I can tell all my friends
you've won again,
that you have won again. Let your power flow.